8 is where we're going to look today. Very thankful you're here in the house of the Lord. Amen. And Meredith and David. I knew it started with a D, and I started to say Dick. That's not right. David. Very thankful you're here. God bless you. Amen. Good to see Sister Belinda. Sister Belinda, you know, here's something different now. Sister Belinda is different. She's retiring from her job as a psychiatric nurse, and she's taking appointments. No, she's not. There may be some we'd like to recommend having an appointment, but no, she's not taking appointments. What she wants to do is fix her own retirement dinner. Have you ever heard of that? She wants to prepare a Filipino dish and do that. I don't know if we can talk her out of it or not. She said everybody else can do the baking because she doesn't like to bake, but she wants to fix her own retirement dinner. So that's coming up in the future. We're not sure when, but something to look forward to. But we love Sister Belinda. I'm very thankful for this wonderful change in her life, and I think it's going to be a great blessing for her. Praise God. Amen. Amen. And already arriving at the end of these Bible school students being here. My goodness, the time has gone by very, very quick. We'll appreciate them here the last week that or so. No, I guess Kaylin is leaving on Thursday. She's going to share scripture for the last time there. Praise God. And that'll be good. And then the other two are leaving on the 8th. We're going to have to set up something that you're going to share scripture to one more time. And well, actually, all three of them are leaving on that time. Cheston will be leaving the 8th as well. So we'll figure something out here. Yeah, we'll do something. So Ellis is staying, though, so we get to enjoy Ellis for a while longer. Praise God. Have you ever been forgetful? I always feel like I'm forgetting something. Deuteronomy 8, that's where we were, wasn't it? That's what I was forgetting. Deuteronomy 8, verse 11. Moses is warning the people of Israel that in their abundance, they become forgetful. I don't know how that works. You know, Brother Cliff is blessed, and he calls me up, and he's so thankful for the things of God. He doesn't forget. How can you forget when the Lord blesses you abundantly? But that's what he's warning them about. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Now, when things get hard, when things get the rough going comes to your life, it might be in a time of a storm that you forget, but that's not what he's warning about. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied. You know, that's the Lord's plan, is to multiply and bless, increase. Then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee out, or brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Now, those are situations that you just can't imagine. How could they forget that? Their deliverance, the Lord leading them, the provisions and the miracles, amazing. And yet he's saying, when you get all settled in and things are going very well, you don't have any bumps, everything's smooth, everything's good, you might forget. That's a very important warning, I think, for us today. You may be seated. As I said, we tend to be forgetful. 29 years ago, my family and I drove in to Sterling. And my goodness, a lot has happened in 29 years. And God's blessing have been so wonderful, so great. And a number of you have been faithful through those 29 years. And a lot of new ones have shown up in those 29 years. That's what's exciting. That's what's good. Praise God. But God's blessings, so good, so wonderful. Amen. And I'm thankful for that. However, Moses' warning here, don't forget. Say that with me. Don't forget. Amen. That's a very important warning. Now, there are factors that impact our forgetting or that move our forgetting to the forefront, and lapse of time going by, that tends to be a factor of forgetting. Someone said, time is a healer, but a terrible beautician. Don't look in the mirror. Don't look in the mirror. But time going by doesn't help your memory either, does it? I'm glad my wife has a great memory. She could probably remember what we ate that night when we pulled in 29 years ago. That's right. I thought maybe we went to Super Duper. Oh, okay. And then drove on down. All right. But, it probably was, but we weren't aware of it just yet. You know, we're captives of time, and that's the realm that we operate in. God is eternal. To him, a day is as 1,000 years. 1,000 years is one day. It just doesn't matter to him. I'm glad that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Praise God. That's who we put our trust in. But he does say that time will be no longer. Revelation 10, and how we recognize that time is going to be no more. Amen. 10:6. And we're forever in his presence, praising him, and lifting him up. Amen. But when facts are not fresh in our minds, we can forget. The book of Daniel, Daniel is an amazing character in the scripture. A young man in strange circumstances, a different culture, different civilization, and removed from all that he was familiar with, and now pressed into service by a heathen king. But yet he rises above those circumstances, and the Lord blesses him. And he's described as having an excellent spirit and preferred above all the other kings. Well, Belshazzar is one of the rulers of the Babylonian Empire, and he decides to throw a party. I mean, a party that was huge, because among the invited guests were 1,000 of his lords. Now, that would be quite a group in itself, 1,000. The banquet that would feed that many would take some organizing and planning and preparation. But in addition to the 1,000 of the lords, their wives, their families, and all that would be connected. So the group could easily be 4 times, 5 times as many. And they're having a great time in their party and decide that Belshazzar decides, I'm going to show how powerful I am, how powerful the Babylonian Empire is, and I'm going to toast to our gods out of the vessels that we took from Jerusalem. And so he summons all the gold vessels and all of the finery that they found in the temple in Jerusalem some years before, and he begins, and all of his lords, you know, raise their chalice to the various gods that they have, until something supernatural happened even in that place, in that setting. A hand appeared, just a hand, and began to write on the wall. Imagine the stillness that came in that group. The jubilance and the hilarity, all of that was gone. And the proverbial saying, you could hear a pin drop, took place. And they watched the hand finish writing. The confusion, the questions, the thoughts, the ideas, the wondering, what does that mean? Well, the writing needed to be deciphered. And so Daniel was summoned. He is credited as being the one who could dissolve doubts. Boy, what a marketplace you would find for that today, wouldn't it? Here's some doubt dissolver. Well, it was in Daniel's heart. It was in Daniel's mind. Because he could follow what God would direct. And so he read the writing. And he reminded Belshazzar, the great ruler, he reminded him of his father who was King Nebuchadnezzar. And judgment that came to Nebuchadnezzar because he did not acknowledge God. He did not recognize God. He thought, I'm it. I'm the supreme ruler. And he ended up spending 7 years as an animal in the field. Belshazzar grew up with that knowledge. However, he forgot. And now his display of power and supremacy is being brought down low. He forgot. And Daniel said, you were his son, but yet you've not humbled your heart, though you knew this. And so Daniel read the writing on the wall. Your kingdom is finished. Not finished in a sense of completion, but finished in the sense of that's it, it's over, it's ended. Your kingdom is finished and it's divided. And you, Belshazzar, have been weighed in the balances and found wanting. Now, the 1,000 of his lords would have been pleased to have their invitation. They would have been very thankful to be able to show their embossed card and that showed that they were welcome to this place. And they would join in the levity and the celebration of Belshazzar and all who had gathered there, their greetings and the camaraderie and all of that would be going on. They would be thrilled to be able to be in that place and recognize the favor and the fortune and the fame that Belshazzar had. But now, someone else is judging. Someone else is evaluating. Someone else is putting him on the scales, as it were, and said, you don't measure up, boy. You don't have what it takes. You have much. Granted, you have a lot, but you don't have what you need. Well, that's a circumstance that perhaps would be found in a lot of people who would have great riches, but their families are bankrupt in terms of relationship and love. They'd have a lot in terms of this world's goods, but their heart and their soul is empty. And they're wondering, is this all? Shouldn't there be more? Well, we've got to make sure that the Lord is going to be the judge. He's the one who is going to make the final evaluation, and that's who we need to measure up to. Don't forget it. Amen. And not in the sense of, oh no, I've got a big shadow hanging over my head and there's going to be a celestial sledgehammer knock me on the head if I make a mistake. Oh no. Brother Mike taught a tremendous lesson today about compassion and mercy. And thank God that's how we relate to our God. But we don't want to forget the judgment as well. Now, sometimes we have selective memory, don't we? Sometimes we're selective in terms of what we want to forget and what we want to remember. And preferences are demonstrated there. We remember and depend on God's mercy and God's grace. But judgment, maybe I'll put that on the back shelf. No, 2 Corinthians 5 and 11. Oh, terror is something that that's somewhat new in our ranks, or at least on our shores. It existed overseas. It's something that happened somewhere else, but 9/11 brought it right home to us. Terror. And it's something that we see in the news now almost on a regular basis, some form, some way. Paul is acknowledging here in 2 Corinthians 5:11 that he knows something about the terror of the Lord. He knows that there's going to be judgment. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. He recognized that was an incentive for evangelism. That was an impetus that he had within his heart that he could not ignore. Oh, all the good things, all the blessings, all the healing, all the wonderful things of God that are so just amazing, absolutely amazing of what God can do. And if the testimonies were allowed here today, my, how we would be able to exalt the Lord and lift him up because of all of the good things, the grand things, the marvelous things that he has done. But don't forget the terror of the Lord as well, because judgment is something that we will recognize as well. Amen. Grace, love, salvation, all of that, so positive. But the alternative is hellfire. And that seems to be forgotten across the land today. I would almost guarantee that in every pulpit, or 90% of the pulpits across the land today, hell is not mentioned. Hell is not warned about. It's completely grace, completely love, completely mercy. And thank God for all of those things. Thank God for the abundance of those things that we have in our lives. Amen. That's what I want to remember. That's what I want to think about. That's what I want to rejoice in. But remember, there's an alternative. And don't forget where God brought you from. Psalm 40:2, he brought me up also out of an horrible pit. Amen. That horrible pit. Now, thank God for young people who are raised on church pews and fall asleep under the pew. Amen. Thank God for young people who've never had to taste the things of this world. They've never had a hangover. They've never had uppers, downers, and in-betweeners, whatever those are. Never had any of those kinds of things. Thank God. But there are some of us who came out of a horrible pit, and I have no desire to go back. No desire to go back. Amen. Out of the miry clay, he set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Praise God. I'm thankful that there's that kind of power that the Lord revealed. And he lets us know you are bought with a price. Twice Paul wrote to the Corinthians and reminded them, you were bought with a price. It's not silver or gold. It's not things that are temporary and transient, but it's the blood of Jesus Christ, thank God, that brings about a change. Don't forget that you were purged from your old sins, Peter wrote. Amen. And when he writes it, I'm sure he's remembering, I denied the Lord 3 times, but the Lord purged me from those old sins. I said things I shouldn't have said, but the Lord purged me from those old sins. I swung a sword in the garden and I cut that guy's ear off, but the Lord purged me from my old sins. Praise God. And oh, thank the Lord, you and I can rejoice as well and know that the Lord has provided for us. Amen. Substitutes cause us to forget. Jeremiah, we'll put the focus on Jeremiah again, like Brother Mike did today in the Bible lesson. Jeremiah writes about how that there are those who have forgotten the Lord their God in 3:21. In 2:13, he writes how that the people of God have committed 2 evils, not satisfied with just one, but 2. First, they forsook the Lord, the fountain of living waters. They walked away from him. They ignored him. They moved on to something else. The second evil was they made cisterns. Now, making a cistern in that day was not easy. They hewed it out of rock. A lot of sweat, a lot of blood, a lot of effort. But it was a broken cistern. Couldn't hold any water. But yet that's where they were trying to satisfy their thirst. That's where they would go instead of the fountain of living waters. How ridiculous. Don't forsake the fountain of living water for a fake that's going to fail. That doesn't make any sense. But 17 and 13 of Jeremiah, to forsake the fountain of living waters is to bring shame upon yourself. And it will be like your name is written in the dust, blown away, wiped out so easily. 18 and 15 of Jeremiah, because my people have forgotten me, the Lord's lament. It caused them to stumble in their ways from the ancient paths. Those ancient paths that some might think, oh, that's irrelevant, that's outdated, that's old-fashioned, that doesn't fit in today's time. Those ancient paths, I'm going to go a new way. I'm going to find something better. But the old paths, Jeremiah 6 and 16, is where you can find rest for your soul. Thank God for the ancient paths, the true and tried places that we can walk on and know that the Lord is there. Jeremiah 18 and 14, shall the cold flowing waters be forsaken? That fountain that puts out the cold flowing waters, are we going to walk away from that? No, we're going to follow on to let the Lord know. But Israel had this problem. Again, all of the blessings, all of the miracles, all of the provisions that they had as they're journeying to the promised land, the Lord opening waters, the Lord providing waters out of rock, a pillar of fire at night, a pillar of fire by or a cloud by day, all of those blessings that the Lord would bring to them. How could they forget? But they chose to walk away from an altar of fire. And they instead joined themselves to an altar of false gods to satisfy their carnal desires and their sensual outlook and desiring those things. Much in the way of blessing made them less mindful of the things of God. And it's amazing to me that that's how it turned around. Because when the blessings of God are coming in great abundance, it's easy to praise God. It's easy to lift him up. It's easy to exalt him. But instead, Moses warned, don't forget. The Galatians, as Paul would write to them, would forget. And Paul calls them foolish. Twice he calls them foolish. For not obeying the truth. And for thinking after having begun in the Spirit, they are now going to find perfection in the flesh, in their own abilities, their own way. Paul reminded them, it's the Spirit. In fact, 15 times in Galatians, he reminds them about the Spirit. Here's just a few of them. They received the promise of the Spirit through faith. They were born after the Spirit. They wait through the Spirit for the hope of righteousness. He told them, walk in the Spirit. Be led of the Spirit. Live in the Spirit. Praise God. Thank the Lord that there can be that emphasis of the Spirit of God, because Paul wanted them to move on from the law, move on from those old dictates and doctrines, move into the realm of the Spirit, and let the Lord bring his power and his blessing. Amen. But they wanted to cling to the law. They wanted to hold on to that. Amen. And so their attitude of, can God prepare a table in the wilderness? Can God give us bread? Can God give us meat? That whole attitude of the Lord supplying and then they're questioning. The Lord supplying and then they're wondering. The Lord supplying and then they're thinking, we'll find something somewhere else. You know, can God? Well, can God forget? You know, there's foolish questions. Can God make a rock so big that even he couldn't lift it? There's crazy things that people wonder about. And there are, of course, lots to wonder about in this world. But can God forget? I'm so thankful to know that he will forget our sins. Again, Jeremiah 31:34, I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more. He forgets. And that phrase is repeated twice in Hebrews to emphasize, even in our time, in our day, this is the new covenant. This is what God desires to bring about in our lives. Amen. Thank God. To put it in human terms, we forget to remember. God remembers to forget. And thank the Lord that there's that difference that the Lord makes concerning our sins. Amen. A mother's love. A mother's love so demonstrated in so many ways and so many things. And here we have young mothers and we have mothers who have a lot of experience. And they've demonstrated that love many, many, many times over. A mother's love. And the scripture asks, can a mother forget her nursing child? You wouldn't think that's possible. You would think that no, they're solid. They're together. There's not going to be that forgetfulness, that neglect. Unfortunately, in our drug world today, that happens. Unfortunately, in the selfishness that our society deems as being paramount, that happens. And the scripture in Isaiah 49:15, she may forget. And the compassion that she would show on the son of her womb may be eliminated by circumstances and desires and other situations that may come about. They may forget. But here's what the Lord says. Here's what the Lord goes on to declare. Yet will I not forget you. A mother nursing her child, as close as that is, as strong as that tie is, they may forget. But God said, I'm not going to forget you. He goes on in verse 16. I've graven you upon the palms of my hands. When did that happen? Is he talking about a tattoo? God help us. He's not talking about that. He's talking about nails. I'm not going to forget you. Praise God. Oh, I'm thankful. God's love for us has no equal. There's no greater love but what the Lord would desire to bring into our lives and lift us up. My aunt used to love to sing, love lifted me when nothing else could help. Love lifted me, and thank God the Lord would do a work of love. Hebrews 6:10, when we consider ourselves perhaps in a labor of love and we're making every effort and striving and attempting and being faithful as we can, God is not unrighteous to forget. That's what the scripture says in Hebrews 6:10. He won't forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name. Thank God for his name. Glory to his name. We're baptized in his name. Amen. Thank God for his name. He won't forget the work and labor of love that you have ministered to the saints and you continue to minister. Amen. Thank God for the love that is displayed to one another as we pray, as we worship, as we desire the things of God to come forth. Thank God for the Lord and his work. He won't forget. He won't forget. And thank God for the power that he brings forth. Oh, it's easy for others to forget what you've done. Easy for others to forget how you've worked and labored for him. Amen, but the Lord's not going to forget. So don't let up. Keep on with that labor of love. Keep on with that work and that effort. Praise God. You know, being forgetful is something we are taught to avoid, and yet it's something we acquire. How can you do both? Well, we're human, I guess. Just happens. Avoid forgetting and go ahead and be forgetful. James, in his practical writings, talked about hearers and doers. Hearers and doers. It's great when they're combined. It's great when they're together, hearers and doers of the Word of God. But when there's only hearers and not doers kind of messes up. And in James chapter 1, he likens the man who hears the word of God but doesn't do it. No, that's what he's talking about, doing the word of God after you've heard it. He likens it to a man who looks in the mirror and says, oh, I need to wash my face. I need to do this. I need to do that. And he steps away from the mirror, immediately forgets what he needs to change. Happily goes on his way and doesn't do a thing about it. That's what the Lord says. James 1:25, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. It's perfect. It does a great work. It can change those who look into it. It's the word of God, the perfect law of liberty. And continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Don't forget, but continue in it. See, the work and deed are things that are involved in your hands, your feet, your efforts. Amen. Not just, oh, sounds pretty good. Yeah, I like that. Good philosophy. And then out the door we go, completely forgot what has been set forth. No. Avoid forgetting. But yet also acquire it. Paul could recall his heritage. He's writing to the Philippians. He said, I'm of the stock of Israel. I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrews. I'm of the tribe of Benjamin. I'm a Pharisee. And concerning the law, blameless. That's quite a resume. It's pretty amazing that he could have all of that stuff that he's able to recall and able to remember and able to boast about. But he said, I count it loss. It's nothing to me. Because I want Christ. I want Jesus. Praise God. And perhaps to a lot who had his standing and had his background and had his experience would wonder about that. What do you mean? You don't even count it as anything. Well, he recognized that something in the Lord was far greater. And in Philippians 3:13, he says, I count not myself. He does a lot of counting. I count not myself to have apprehended. I haven't reached where I'm striving for. I haven't gained what I desire. But this one thing I do, forgetting. What? I thought you were supposed to remember. No, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Now, why is he making that effort? Why is he singling that out? One thing I do. Because it's so important to not let anything hinder you or hold you back when you're reaching for the things of God. Oh, there's lots of things that can hinder you, lots of things that can hold you back. Amen. Forgetting the vices, forgetting the sin, forgetting the mistakes, forgetting the failures. And that, by the same token, forgetting the victories, forgetting the things that God did yesterday, because there's more he wants to do tomorrow. Amen. Don't just sit back on your laurels and say, ah, I've arrived, I've made it. Man, this is good. No, there's more that God wants to do. Praise God. So either vices or victories, move on, because God has more for you ahead. Reach forth for the things which are before that lie ahead. Amen. He talked about the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, and it'll always bring you into more blessing. And that's the power that the Lord wants to display, salvation and victories, praise God, a closer walk with the Lord, spiritual fruit bearing that we've been talking about the last 7 months, seeing your loved ones come to the Lord. There's more that God wants to reveal. It almost seems impossible. How can it get any better? How can there be any more? How can it become even greater? But God will show you as you continue on and press toward the mark. Amen. Forget the sin which causes you to miss the mark and press toward the mark. Amen. Be diligent and continue on, one verse translation says. Strain to reach, another translation says. Keep your eyes on the crown. Thank God. And don't forget the prize. Don't forget what God has done for you. The psalmist said, forget not all his benefits. And then he begins to list all of those benefits. And one of them is, he's removed your transgressions as far as the east is from the west. That's incredible. Praise God. Amen. How far west do you have to go to get to Hawaii? A long ways, isn't it? How far east do you have to go to get to Vermont? Well, that's even farther. But God has removed our transgressions. Oh, nothing else can do that. No one else can do that. Thank God for his love and his mercy. Thank God for his power and his blessing. Amen. Don't forget where he's taking you. Amen. The devil in this life will take you down. He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And we see ample evidence of that in our society. Getting worse and worse. God help us. Don't forget where he's taking you. Peter said, again, this is Peter, and no doubt his recollection, his remembering of the things that the Lord brought in changes in his life. He said, make your calling and election sure. Be sure about it. And then you won't fail, you won't fall. Praise God. Instead, there will be an abundant entrance to the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. An abundant entrance. Thank God. And that's the power that the Lord has for us. Amen. And the Lord won't remember the former things. He says you won't remember the former things. Revelation 21 and 4, this is a beautiful, beautiful promise. The former things are passed away. And God is going to wipe away all tears. Amen. These are elements of our existence. This is where we are right now. This is what we experience. Tears. Pain. Sorrow. Crying. Death. But it's all going to be gone. And you're not going to remember the former things. And the Lord says, behold, I make all things new. Praise God. And he doesn't forget the fountain. He doesn't forget it. Jeremiah writes about how my people have forgotten me. They've forsaken me. They've walked away from it. God doesn't forget the fountain. Revelation 21 and 6. He said unto me, it is done. John is recording it. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. It's still there. It's still available. And it's going to be there for eternity. Praise God. I do not want to miss out, amen, on anything that the Lord has concerning the fountain of the water of life freely. Moreover, in Revelation 22 and 17, this is an incredible invitation that is given. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. The invitation is threefold. Thank God for the power of the Lord to try to get our attention and say, come on, come on, I've got something for you. I've got something powerful for you. I'm going to show you great things. I'm going to reveal to you great things. I'm going to take away things that hurt you, and I'm going to cause you to remember the former things no more, and I'm going to make all things new. Praise God. And whosoever will, that verse ends. Let him take the water of life freely. That's amazing, isn't it? That's what he makes available. Stand with me now, please. Don't forget or forsake that fountain. Because Jesus interrupted a ceremony. Jesus interrupted a ritual that was going on. And everybody solemnly watching that priest take a chalice and get water out of the pool and take it back towards the temple. And the Lord cried out. The Lord shouted, if any man thirst, Let him come unto me and drink. People turn to look, wondering what's going on. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And again, they focus their attention on him. What's he talking about? How rude to interrupt this ceremony. Well, I'd rather have a relationship with God than a ceremony, I'll tell you, any day. I'd rather have a strong fellowship with him than some ritual. Amen. The power of God to bring his spirit flowing. Praise God. That woman at the well and her exchange with the Lord, and finally her declaring, "Sir, give me that water." I hope that's in our hearts today. I hope that's the desire we're feeling today. Not just a natural thirst in a warm building, but a spiritual thirst. I said, "Lord, give me that water that you have for us. Give me that water, Lord, that's going to be forever. Lord, I don't want to forsake the fountain. I don't want to forget the fountain. I don't want to forget all of the blessings that you brought into existence and for my experience, for my benefit, but all of the goodness that you provided." Praise God. Praise God. Can you close your eyes for just a moment now? Coming to the close of this service. And I challenge you not to be a forgetful hearer. Easy to hear and then forget. Easy to let the Word of God get crowded out by so many other concerns and so many other situations that we face in life. Priorities that we may feel take precedence over the presence of God. But if we're a doer of the Word, a doer, not just a hearer, then the benefits multiply. The benefits are out of this world. Praise God. Praise God. Now, consider, where am I in this situation? Where am I? Oh, thank God for the fountain. It's not temporary. It's not superficial. It's powerful. It's real. It's from God. Thank the Lord. And I, for one, want to have another drink from that fountain. I can't get enough. And the supply is endless. Amazing. Could you come to the front now, please, as we sing a chorus? Just step out and come down, and we're going to pray for just a few minutes here as we close this service. Then we'll have fellowship, and then we'll go our separate ways, and the challenge will be there. Don't forget. Don't forsake. But stay with it, because God's power is so wonderful, so incredible. And I look here this morning, I look here and see, my, there's miracles here. There's healing here. There's salvation, there's deliverance, there's satisfaction, and there's blessing. And I see it in you. And yet, Jesus said, how much more will your heavenly Father give? And that's what I want to find out. Not because I'm selfish, not because I'm greedy and reaching for it. No, because the Lord is my shepherd. Thank you, Jesus. And I shall not want. Because he continues to bless. He continues to provide. Can we reach out to him together right now? Can we ask him to minister to our hearts and to our lives? Can we ask him to bless us, to bless our families? Call your children. Call their names out to the Lord. Ask the Lord to help them. Ask the Lord to bless them. Oh, God, touch my sons, Lord. Oh, God, bless my grandchildren, Lord. Jesus, let your power, let
Lord,
your power come.
I love
oh,
you.
Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Let
yes,
your power come now.
I love
let your power touch
you.
Us now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
You're the cross.
Oh, God, I need you.
And the
oh, Jesus, I want you.
Of my
let my
soul.
Desire, Lord God. Let my appetites, Lord. Let everything within me reach for you. You're the satisfier. You're the deliverer. You're the savior. You're the healer. Oh, Jesus, I need you.
Your love is all I need to know.
Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
Lord,
let your spirit touch us, God. Let your spirit work in us, Lord. Let your spirit minister to us, Lord.
Yes,
in the name of Jesus.
I love
oh,
you.
Yes, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord.
You're the
Christ
and the Lord.
In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, I want you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Always to love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Let me not be forgetful, God. Let me not step away, Lord, from the blessings that you have for me, God. Oh, Jesus, in your name. Jesus, in your mighty name.
To know.
Oh, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for the goodness you've displayed. Thank you, Jesus, for the power you bring forth. Thank you, Jesus, for the goodness that you pour out. Pour out those blessings, God, upon your people now. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord.
And I want you.
Oh,
always love
you. In the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord. Your love, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
All I need.
Hallelujah.